good to see you today. We're glad that you're here and have another opportunity together to worship. We are especially grateful that we have a number of visitors with us. We thank you for being present. We hope that you are encouraged by being here, as we certainly are by your presence. And we hope that, Lord willing, you can come back again tonight at 6 o'clock for another worship service. And pray the Lord's care and keeping with you as you continue your travels. It's good to see the Hicks again from Lancaster, Peggy and James, part of the family from there. And of course, Autumn and her family are here visiting. And I don't want to look over, you know, that's the problem when we start calling out names. Sure as the world, you're going to overlook somebody. So don't want to do that. We're glad that everybody's here, and we appreciate it very much. Lord willing, tonight we're going to have a study somewhat continuing of what we did last Sunday night, but standing on its own and different. We're going to study some about the Second Assembly. Is it our opportunity or is it our excuse? And we're trying to look at that from the Word of God and try to find out what God's attitude from His Word is that we should have concerning those things. But this morning, in this lesson, I'd like for us to turn our attention to really what we wrote about in the bulletin last week about Facebook, Faith or Folly. If you haven't read that, I invite you to do so. It's online. In fact, Gary mentioned that it'd be good for us to mention that not only are the outlines and articles of the bulletin online, but also the audio of these sermons. If you can stand to listen to my recorded voice, then I invite you to know that there's links to all the audio to the sermons. Chuck usually has those posted by Monday morning, and you can link over and listen to the sermons as well as the written material. But this week, we want to spend some time based upon really some of the principles of 1 Peter 2 that says that, you know, God called us by the gospel out of darkness, out of sin, into His marvelous light. We were not God's people, but now we're the people of God. And so we have obtained mercy, where before in our sins we were lost and without mercy. In Jesus Christ, that mercy is obtained. And so initially and primarily, if you're not in the mercy of God this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ in faith, we urge that upon you. We want to help you to become a Christian, to obtain the mercy that brings you out of the darkness of sin into His light of truth and salvation and hope of eternal life in heaven, to stand with Him in His kingdom, to be a citizen of it. If you'll this morning confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, if you will repent of sin, and if you'll be baptized into Christ, the Lord will save your soul by His precious blood given at the cross, His life for the sins of the world. We want to help you do that as God's people. We want to help one another. If there's sin in our lives, we need to repent. We need to confess it to God and pray His forgiveness, knowing that He hears and He blesses His people. Facebook. There may be some here who don't know what Facebook is. So please bear with an explanation. Because I say that because, you know, 500 million people worldwide are subscribers to Facebook. That's more than the entire population of the United States. And it continues to grow. The use of Facebook is really I'll stay on this a minute. The use of Facebook is really or things like it. Social networking is really what Facebook is. It's a site for social networking. And that is the number one way Americans use the internet today. Studies say that the number one way for us to use the internet is to network with others. Now, it may be in the form of something like Facebook, it may be blogs, it may be email, things like that, but some kind of interaction and communication. When we talk about, people talk about networking today, we're talking about communication. And I think it's important to know that, to understand that. It's also, we're going to get to some more details about that, but before we do, I was thinking this morning, you know, Joe, you don't want to come off like you're saying that communication is wrong. and I don't want to come off like that, or that technology is wrong. I mean, I suppose there's some people back when Gutenberg, made the printing press and printed the Bible and other publications, that some said, "Oh, that printing press, that's just technology. It's just ruining our world." Well, maybe the Roman Catholic priest may have thought that. It's really changed their world. Or somebody, come along and time of the telephone. Oh, these young people, they're just on the telephone all the time. Just can't get them off the phone. Yeah. So we don't want to be guilty of saying, "Oh, this internet, oh, this Facebook, they're just on that Facebook all the time." Without being discriminating and understanding some things. And we want to try to do that. What the fundamental thing we want to ask here, and if you're familiar, and I know most of you here are familiar with Facebook to some degree, maybe not all of you, but some, but most of us, is you click on a contact and you become friends with somebody. And the real question that we want to ask ourselves this morning is, have we chosen God as our friend? Jesus said, "You are my friend if you do the things that I have commanded you." So the question is, are you God's friend on Facebook? Are you showing God to be your friend? When you click and make a friend, or you post as you network with the world, are you God's friends? That's what we want to keep before us this morning. You see, Facebook provides opportunity for faith. I spent a few minutes, I think it's right. You see, Facebook can be used as a blessing, as in everything. The printing press is a great blessing, but a lot of people have misused the printing press. Well, that doesn't mean that we destroy the printing press, does it? So, the fact that there are those who abuse the internet, or those that abuse Facebook, doesn't mean necessarily then that we just, we just eliminate those things. But rather, that we understand our place in a world. He says that we can live honorably among the Gentiles, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Have your behavior honorable among the Gentiles, that though they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works glorify God who is in heaven. And Facebook provides opportunities for good works. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world," in Matthew 5:13-16. And there are a number of ways that Facebook can provide us those kinds of opportunities. We can spread the gospel using Facebook. I know any number of brethren who post regular scripture readings, daily scripture readings, on their Facebook wall, as it's called. You don't write on tag anymore, you write on a wall, Facebook wall, right? Well, there's brethren who post daily scriptures for a daily scripture reading. I know some who post, if not every day, about 5 days a week, a passage of a song with a scripture reference and a brief comment about that song, that spiritual song, to help give some context and focus in the day for the things of God. I know brethren who post such things as prayers or links to Bible sites. They may post a prayer, they may post, I've used it some that way, to post links to our bulletin and sermons and study material, study groups. I think the young people here who get together on Monday night, they have a Facebook page. That's how they communicate, how they network, where we're going to go, where we're going to be, maybe what we're going to study. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good use. That's a quick way for those who are connected to communicate. Of course, to be teaching the lost. Gospel meeting invitations. It can become an avenue to prompt study of God's Word and spread the Word of God in a lot of different ways. Of course, there's other uses as well. There's legitimate business uses of Facebook. And And now you see just about everybody advertising talks about their Facebook page of some sort. And of course, the companion Facebook, Twitter over there. So you can just post your tweet, if you don't want to post a whole lot of stuff. If you're not up on that vernacular, don't worry, but there's a lot of folly on Facebook also. Proverbs 15:21 says, "Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly." If we lack discernment, the things that are foolish can, in fact, become the things that bring us great joy. And by that, we show our foolishness. We show our lack of discernment. God wants us to be discerning people. He wants us to know the difference between expressions of faith and activity that is foolish, that is folly, so that we may walk uprightly, as that passage says. And there are a great deal of dangers, of temptations, and of sin that is expressed on Facebook. And that's, we want to see some of those as we go through this morning. Try to warn about some of them. Pride and arrogance certainly find an avenue in Facebook. And again, I want you to see that really what we're talking about today is not something new. It's just a new vehicle of it. It's really, these things are nothing new. But it's just that Facebook has provided a widespread outlet and vehicle for it. And we have to be people who have discernment, who have spiritual discernment to understand and to not be a part of such sins. Certainly does give rise to the expression of anger and hate. It'd be foolish not to think that. You can go to any number of pages, I'm sure, and find those sorts of things. Gossip and tale-bearing, backbiting, backstabbing, etc. You think that doesn't go on Facebook? You're kidding yourself. Of course it does. Profanity. We'll have more to say about that as we go through our study, but expressions of profanity. Immodesty. You see, on Facebook you can post photos as well as type messages. And so if you have a Facebook page, you have a little picture that identifies you to people, and then you can go to your particular page and you can post all kinds of photos of yourself and your life and so forth and so on. And others, of course, they post theirs too, and they have links to their page, and they want you to go and see their photos, and that's how everybody networks, you see, and knows everything about everybody. Well, now, look at these Proverbs that we have on the chart here as we begin to study. Proverbs 12 and 23 says, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness." So, well, what does that have to do with Facebook? It occurs to me that Facebook is an avenue, an outlet for people to think out loud. It seems that very often people run to Facebook and just whatever they're thinking on the moment, they type it down and post it. It's thinking out loud. I think God made us to think up here in a quiet way before we express ourselves. But you see, a prudent man conceals knowledge. Not that he doesn't use knowledge, but you see, he has a heart that doesn't proclaim foolishness. He ponders and reflects and considers what he says so as to be wise and discerning and have a good example and a good outcome. So that does bear upon Facebook, because Facebook lends itself to thinking out loud and an impulsive reaction, more of which we'll talk about in just a moment. Uh-oh, I want to look at that other passage before we go further. Chapter 13:16. "Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly." Now, you who know Facebook, doesn't that ever happen? People just lay open their folly? It seems, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me, but the impression I've gotten is a lot of times Facebook is a place we go to just act foolishly. Just be foolish. Just kind of, just let it all go. That's not prudent. That's not wise. Think about it with me. Don't close your mind off. Say hi to that old guy. He didn't know what he's talking about. Okay, kids? Junior high and high school and college, obviously, necessarily, they're very involved in this, but they're not exclusive. No, not exclusive at all. Even old guys like me have Facebook pages, and a lot older. Okay, so let's think about some of the follies, some of the temptations, and even some of the sins that can happen. And let's protect ourselves. Let's remember who we are. Let's remember that God has called us out of darkness by the gospel into His marvelous light. We were not His people, but now we're the people of God. We didn't have mercy, but now we have mercy. And so how we conduct ourselves toward those in the world will either be a good example of good works, or we will undermine our opportunity to influence them for what is righteous and godly. And that becomes crucial, whatever particular avenue, media, or communication we're talking about, whether it's Facebook or whether it's the telephone or anything else we might bring up as an illustration. Facebook gives people a false sense of freedom from accountability. I really believe that. I think Facebook is so structured that people get on it and sign on it, and you're networking with people, and you know, you're just keeping it real, just being yourself. And of course, that's always a good thing, isn't it? Just being myself. That's just who I am. Well, yeah, probably so. You see, underlying that is a false sense of answerability, accountability. Romans 14:12 says, we shall all give account of ourselves to God. And so, yeah, there's nothing wrong with being real and being yourself if your heart is right. You see, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If my words are right, if the thoughts and meditations of my heart are approved before God, then there's nothing wrong with being yourself, nothing wrong with communicating with others. The warning is the temptation of not understanding our accountability when we sit down before a keyboard and start posting or emailing, you see, or blogging, or those sorts of things, or any other kind of communication, because Jesus talked about it in Matthew 12, 34 and 35. We're just trying to make an application of the principle that He set out when He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's out of the abundance of the heart that we post on Facebook. Now, I already knew this, but now everybody knows it. My daughter, at least it's on Facebook and is linked to my daughter. She doesn't like thunder. Because during the thunder last week, she posted, I hate thunder. Something like that. Well, now, it was thundering around midnight. I don't know. I guess she was posting away at midnight, you see. Of course, that's what you do these days with these little things, don't you? You pull them out and you post Facebook or you can text it. And by the way, that gives me a good opportunity to say, is your phone off? We shouldn't be texting in services, posting in services, or anything like that. So, accountability. Accountability. We need to remember we're accountable for our words. Idle words are not innocent. Idle words are not innocent. Let's read on. Jesus said, I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now the word idle there, Vine says, means worthless, unfruitful, barren. Barren word. Now another source said that the word conveys the idea of weighty words, useless words. I gotta say, there's a lot of that on Facebook. just useless, just mindless. And
Jesus says, in saying that, he says, understand, we're going to, even the idle words that we speak, we're going to give account of.
If our words are not formed and chosen and used in a way to be productive and helpful and fruitful,
we will answer to God. We'll answer to God.
Facebook can provide a loss of that sense of responsibility or accountability. There is often an apparent removal of moral restraint. And I think in the article I wrote, I'm not sure which came first, that when you get on Facebook, you don't have moral restraint, or you didn't have moral restraint before, and then you went on Facebook and revealed it to everybody. And probably it's a little of both. But probably, you know, it didn't exist to start with, and so when you get on Facebook, it just exposes that. And by the way, exposure is an interesting word. You know, don't you, that you're just a few clicks away from strangers? Really, as much as just one click away. As few as just one click away, strangers access you. You have a friend, but they have friends that you don't know at all. And of course, they have friends, they have friends. You're just a few clicks away from strangers that you don't know. You don't know their hearts. You don't know their motives. You don't know what kind of people they are. But they're learning everything about you that you choose to put on Facebook. Is that what you want? You see, these blend over in each other. But that's some of the security issues on Facebook. The moral security seems to be removed on Facebook. In 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure hearts. You see, unfortunately, Facebook seems to be an outlet for a supposed freedom from the bondage of moral restraint. In other words, it's a place where we feel free to indulge in those things that are immoral before God. And really what it shows is a disrespect for God's law whenever we conduct ourselves like that. Proverbs 29, let's go back to the Proverbs, and verse 18 has something to say about this. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. God has revealed his will. That brings upon us a measure of restraint. Because if we cast off restraint, it says we're not respecting the law of God that is intended to keep us within the bounds of what is moral, what is upright. Facebook removes those moral restraints. Photos of immodesty and provocative poses are viewed as nothing when you post them on Facebook. I don't understand how the Christian can believe that it's a good influence to post photographs that show immodesty and other sinful conduct. Because you see, what it shows and displays is that this person, so photoed, so displaying themselves, does not understand the moral restraint that God has established in shamefastness and sobriety, 1 Timothy 2:9, or doesn't understand about not loving the world, because all of these things suggest a worldly attitude and a worldliness. And it's all over Facebook. And it's on pages of Christians. And it ought not be so. We need to repent of that. We need to see that we are called to deny worldly lusts. Deny it. Don't put ourselves in context and situations that removes the restraint, but instead be a pattern of good works, not of moral abandonment. Look at Titus 2, verses 6 through 8. Titus 2, verses 6 through 8. The Word of God talks to young men here. He says, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So here the young men urge that in everything be a pattern of good works. In your words, in your teaching, in your conduct, may it be of integrity and reverence, incorruptible,
so that you're maintaining an example of good works. Rather than when we, Facebook,
it sets before us a temptation to not guard our influence, to not be aware of our influence. We need to have zero toleration of sinful material on our walls. If somebody posts something on your wall and it's sinful, you need to delete it. No exceptions. And communicate with that person saying, I don't want that kind of sin on my page. Now, of course, it goes without saying here, don't be posting it yourself. You see, once you post something, it's out there. It's out there forever. You say, oh no, I can delete my account. Yeah, you can delete your account. But you don't know who's seen anything you post, whether they saved it. You know, any of those photographs. People can save them. Think about that. You know, one thing to give a friend a photo. Nothing. It's another thing to have some stranger that you don't know download your photograph. It's out there forever. Zero tolerance. Befriend those who refuse to be decent. You can make friends, you can remove friends as well who will not be decent and upright, who will not respect what is righteous and godly. Guard your influence. Guard it on Facebook. Don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And I had an application including the matter of Facebook and who we choose to network with in such ways. Facebook holds up privacy to public display. I heard a commercial this week. I don't know what it was advertising, but the punchline was, I've got to go embarrass myself on Facebook. I thought, I wrote that down like quick so I wouldn't forget it. So I thought, yeah, that gets to it. Now, what that says, among other things, is there's a general perception out there that a lot of people are embarrassing themselves on Facebook. Saying things on Facebook they wouldn't say otherwise. And so it holds up things that ought to be held in private decency to impulsive publicity. Facebook feeds on impulse. It does. It feeds on impulse. You post before you think. Before you think it through, anyway. You post. And then it's out there. And you can't pull it back as easily. Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. The impulsive exalts what is foolish. You see, we need to have restraint. Decency and decorum rather than rudeness. Unfortunately, Facebook makes it very easy to be rude toward people and not even think about it. Not even realize what we're doing. Privacy, even of shameful things, are posted for public display. It ought not be so. In fact, we're taught not to do that. Ephesians 5. And in verse 12, it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret.
But you see, Facebook has made it easy to take what's private,
make it public. Better to spare our words. Better not to say everything we think. Word of God says that. Proverbs 17:27-28. Look at this. Proverbs 17. And verses 27 and 28 says, he who has knowledge spares his words, but a man of understanding is of calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. You know, I think it occurs to me that whether it's email, or whether it's blogging, or whether it's Facebook, the reverse is often seen these days on the internet. You're only considered wise if you have something to say. God says, no, even the fool is counted wise if sometimes he closes his mouth and holds his peace. Then even the fool may be considered as perceptive. We need to shut our mouths sometimes. We need to not post sometimes and you know, not spill the evidence that we're really foolish instead of perceptive. We need to spare our word. We need to think before we post. Look again at Proverbs 25:9-10. Proverbs 25:9-10 says, debate your cause with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. He says there's a time and a place for debate with your neighbor behind closed doors to make your point and to emphasize and to try to bring somebody to right and godliness. He said, but be careful, because sometimes if you're not careful in this and others hear, you may expose your shame. You may be it may be some other discussion of another nature. That you are, and he says, and your reputation is ruined. My footnote on that says, and the evil report concerning you not pass away. Again, when we post on Facebook, it's out there. You can't pull it back. It's out there for everybody, for the whole world. That's why it's called World Wide Web. It's the world in just a moment. People all over the world can read it. So, he says, understand that. Choose your word carefully, lest you ruin your reputation. Because once you ruin your reputation, it's hard to get it back. It's hard to get it back. So don't ruin it to start with. Don't ruin it on Facebook. Facebook is a venue for uncontrolled tongues. James reminds us how great a fire a little spark can begin. You know, how just a small flame can erupt into a massive forest fire. What greater forest a little fire kindles? Think about this one. There's all kinds of hurtful words. Disrupt and divide and destroy. Look at Proverbs 12:18 with me. Think about some of these as we make this application this morning. But of course, we want to make these applications all the time, whatever situations of our life we're in. But look at this. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And I find somebody on Facebook and they just kind of made it their mission to just be as cutting and biting as they can be, as if that's a good thing. You know, that they can bring anybody down with their words, like that's a wise thing. That's foolishness. He says, there's some who speak and their words are like a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Our words ought to promote health, not disruption and destruction. And so it is on Facebook as well. So you see, that's one of the worrisome things about it is the gossip and backbiting, the spreading of rumors, evil suspicions. You read something and you take it and you pass it on to somebody else. You didn't verify the facts. You didn't talk to the person. Kind of lost that art, I think. You know, but pick up the phone, talk to somebody, find out what this is about. Don't assume. That's what gets you in trouble. Don't make assumptions. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Well, don't be a talebearer. Deal with something faithfully. You know, talk to the person that needs to be talked to about the problem that needs to be discussed and rectified, and when you do, you gain your brother. And you've avoided all other kind, a host of other sins in the process. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. Facebook feeds on perpetuating, you know, a thread. Sometimes they're innocent, innocuous, and of no real import. Sometimes they can be extremely destructive and hurtful to the name, the reputation of others. Sometimes it can be that we've exposed our own sin, and it just goes on and on and on. So you see, again, it's about guarding our own soul, being sure that we are showing good works, and then also being careful not to engage in these sorts of things at the same time. Profanity? Well, of course it's on Facebook. You know what? There's a whole vernacular for texting. All kinds of profanity and taking the Lord's name in vain, like OMG and things like that, posted on Christians, by Christians, to Christians, ought not be so. Taking the Lord's name in vain and all this profanity, you see, it's a perfect venue for these kinds of things happening, and we need to understand that and not be a part of it. It's a venue for mindless chatter and worse. We already talked some about, showing the wisdom sometimes is just closing our mouth and not speaking. Proverbs 13:2 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Guard your mouth. Ponder before you think. Ponder before you post. Think about that. When you sign on to Facebook, remember Joe said, ponder before you post. Okay? You do that? Ponder before you post. Think about it. What are you going to say? What's going to be read? What are you going to say about yourself? What are you going to say about others? Be careful. Because that oughtn't be confined to Facebook. That's true when we close this morning and we start talking to one another. Ponder. Speak properly. Respectfully, truthfully, righteously. You see, in every venue. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We can use our tongue to promote life, or we can use our tongue to kill. And we're going to bear the fruit of it. Public consumption. If we publicly ridicule people, it displays an attitude of arrogant boasting and a lack of love. If we post profanity, we've engaged in coarse jesting and vulgarity. We've allowed corrupt speech come out of our mouth, or as it were, come out of our mind on Facebook. Course, jesting, if we're to put away, you see, rumors and gossip and tale bearing, all these lead to bitterness, to strife, to misunderstandings. See, be kind one to another, tender hearted and forgiving one another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Chapter 5 goes on to say, mindless chatter can turn into something that's far worse. And destroy our souls and others. You know, Facebook can consume your time. It can consume your time. We're told to redeem our time, for the days are evil. We don't know how much more time we're going to have on the earth, so we ought to say the Lord will live and do this or that. It can literally consume you. And we need to realize that that's a part of the dangers of it as well. A third of online time in the U.S. is spent on social networking and blogs. That's a tremendous amount of time. Seems like we have more and more networking and less productivity as a result. I mean, it's like somebody standing on the phone for 4 hours a day. How much work is going to get done if you're on the phone just talking to somebody 4 or 5 hours a day? But we do that with Facebook and we think we're being productive. Redeem your time. Jesus said, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." We need to be vigilant and watchful while it's day and useful to the Lord now, while it's day. And not waste our time on things that will not allow us to advance godliness and righteousness. Again, I'm not saying don't use Facebook. Use it the right way. And remember the importance of face-to-face contact. That's I joke about it some, but I think there's a germ of truth in it, is that we now have a generation that is very skilled and very comfortable texting and networking on Facebook, but don't know how to go to somebody face to face and talk to them and communicate about something. We need to remember the benefit of face to face. Proverbs 27:17 talks about it, the benefit of it. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Yes, that can happen on Facebook. You can encourage a friend on Facebook. You can also do it face to face. Why not do both, you see? And realize that our time is valuable. And we can consume it and not accomplish the very things God wants us to be doing in our lives for Him. One other point I want to make. It's easy to have fellowship with those in sin and error on Facebook that we wouldn't have fellowship with otherwise. Where God says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. We sin against God by socializing with unrepentant brethren who have been disciplined by the church, don't we? That's what the Bible says. He says, we're to keep no company with anyone who's named a brother, who's the adulterer, or, you know, the fornicator, or the extortioner, and so forth. He says, with such a one, know not to eat. The church disciplines an unrepentant sinner. We're to remove our individual social contacts with that person, to bring them to repentance. Withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the traditions which we taught. You see, the apostles taught. He says, don't count him as a brother, but as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians 14:15. He says, keep no company with, to the end that they may be ashamed. So we understand that, but now we have Facebook. You see, and so imagine the scene here. Here's a congregation that has disciplined an unrepentant sinner and trying to save that sinner's soul, and teaching the brethren, withdraw your social contact, because you see they need to be brought to shame over their sin, to be brought to repentance. But then the brethren go out and they connect with them on Facebook. Now, how can that be? How can that rightly be? Is perhaps a better question. We're not to encourage those who are in error. Anyone comes in and does not bring this doctrine of Christ, receive him not in your house and give him no greeting. For he that gives him greeting partakes his evil deed. But we bring him into our computer, onto our Facebook, and we face and we connect, and now we're friends. With the fellow who's a false teacher, not in trying to teach him. No, we're just friends. We're contacts. We're Facebook buddies. Where God says, mark those who cause divisions and occasions to stumble contrary to the doctrine that you learn and turn away from them. You see, how can we, on the one hand, identify somebody as a false teacher because of his false doctrine, and on the other hand, be friends with him on Facebook? How can we do that? I don't know how we can do that. The brethren are doing that. We need to be careful ourselves not to do that. Not to be encouraging error. A word to parents before we close. Fathers, nurture your children in chastening and admonition of the Lord. In fact, it says, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. A word to parents about kids on Facebook. Know what your child is posting. Know what they're reading. Don't be naive. Get facts. You're the parent. You have a right. See what your children are posting. See who they're connecting with. Who they're listening to. Forbid indiscriminate friending. Monitor the contacts. You know, talk to them about these things we've discussed. It may be your choice that they shouldn't have a Facebook account, or if they do, that you're going to monitor it. That's your choice as a parent. You make some decisions in that to nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. But be aware, you know, don't be naive.
This kind of knowledge is vital for you to help train your children in the way they should go, so that when they're old enough to talk.
So, this is a task you have as a parent. You have children, even preteen, and then teens. who want to be on Facebook, if they're going to be on Facebook, then accept the responsibility to help them be on it in a godly way and to be aware of the ungodliness that, that of course, they as Christians, you see, as they're God's people, so that how they conduct themselves in this world, they may be seen for their good works. And so we close where we began with the scripture reading, 1 Peter 2. And Peter said there, "Have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, those who are not Christians, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." Question for each one of us as we close. As people look at our Facebook page, will they see somebody whose good works cannot be controverted? Will they see an influence for righteousness? Or will they see something less than that and against that? You see, we're to be walking by faith, not by sight. And that includes if we choose to be on Facebook, as well as everything else in our lives. And so the call of the gospel is for all of us to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith and living by faith, or in foolishness against the will of God and destroying a good name and a good reputation that God wants us to have and maintain in this world of sin and suffering and death. If you need to be saved in Christ, you can obey His gospel now. You can repent. You can confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will save you right now. For as God's people, we can put away sin. We can accept the reproof of Scripture from God and the training that it gives us to help us live in righteousness. We can repent, seek His forgiveness, and He'll give it. We encourage you and want to help you accomplish that while together we stand and sing.